Hello, this is Mary Elizabeth Macari, the Magic Apothecary. We're listening to Sheila Chandra in the background, beautiful artist and singer with a lot of beautiful meditation music. You can find her easily on YouTube or Spotify.com and listen to her for all your meditation needs. Actually, she's really quite wonderful, an amazing singer, amazing artist. I am not Sheila Chandra, but I am Mary Elizabeth Macari. I am a medicine woman, I'm a witch, I'm a spiritualist, medium, a tarot reader, astrologer, and Reiki healer. And that's what I am right now. I'm sure it will grow. I am also a singer and a singing teacher. I use singing and singing teaching to heal as well as the other things that I do. I'm basically a healer of all sorts. I began my spiritual journey as a little girl with my Irish and Italian grandmothers, learning their traditions and branching into the studies of tarot with them, palm reading, laying on of hands in the Catholic vein, and all facets of the nature religion that I later became able to know was called Wicca. I am an initiated Gardnerian witch in a tradition that is directly descended from Gerald Gardner in England, and an initiated member of the Fellowship of Isis, as well as my own tradition and which I am actually penning and working on right now with my working group. More on that later. In my travels, I have been blessed to have studied with some of the best teachers in New York City in both the craft as well as herbal and healing studies. Some of my teachers include Lady Rhea of Magical Realms, Susan Weed, very famous herbalist in upstate New York, Celtic scholar Alexei Kondratiev, who was my high priest until he passed away, Pika Trinkle, High Priest Anthony Russell, Drew DiVittorio, David Winston, David Crow, the aromatherapist, and Klingon Joe Sukowski. I have even harvested Prospect Park with Steve Brill, the wild man, and I'm now studying Reiki with Joanna Crespo at the New York Open Center. And the magicapothecary.com was born of all of this stuff. I live each day on a path to healing both myself and others around me using everything I've learned. I create some products for healing like teas, oils, incense, baths. I also create things both magical and healing. These things are done by hand, fresh, one of a kind, just for you. I'm also a New York State licensed cosmetologist, so you can be guaranteed my work is healthy and meets health standards. But over all that, I am the Magic Apothecary. So you can find me online at themagicapothecary.com. It's the magic, APOTHECARY.com. Or you can call me directly, 347-492-0534. Or you can write to me at the magical apothecary, THEMAGICALAPOTHECARY at gmail.com. Okay, so let's begin. My last podcast, which was a while ago, was on aphrodisiacs, and I had started doing that around Beltane time in the spring. However, my world became very busy, and I was unable to do another podcast in the spring. However, here we are, just before Mabon, going to do another podcast. It's good. Maybe it's a good time to talk about aphrodisiacs. It is coming between two big harvest holidays. Between the autumn, you know, we're getting closer to the autumn equinox, where one of the last harvests of the year. So there are herbs and there's a lot of things available to be used magically. Let's talk about an aphrodisiac. It's a questionable thing. In regular herbal medicine, they don't discuss and will not discuss much about aphrodisiacs, and that includes in things like aromatherapy. So what we are talking about more is along the magical, traditional folk magic veins. I did in my last podcast list and talk about a lot of things that are considered aphrodisiacs, but really are venodilators, things that make blood flow to certain places in our body, you know? So now those things are available there. And if you have any questions about that, just give me a call or write to me and I will do my best to research and give you answers on those things. You can also find answers about libido and hormone work herbally online or through any, you know, reputable herbal place. There's an herbal store in Manhattan, downtown on East 9th Street between Avenue A and First Avenue, called Flower Power. I know they give classes in there, as well as classes in the Open Center on Herbalism. If you're interested, give me a call and I'll give you all the information you might need to study yourself. Also, let's talk about magic and love and sex. One of the top two things I ever get asked to make are magic, love, sex, lust things. I get a lot of money, probably more than love. I guess you need to have money to feel safe to have love or to bring a love into your life for some people. However, I get a lot of things about love. Breaking up with somebody, trying to keep them, trying to seduce somebody you know wants you but isn't able to do it, getting rid of somebody who's stalking maybe, or binding a past lover, lots of things around the word love and lust. Revitalizing a relationship, revitalizing a sex life, revitalizing your own sexual drive, being more beautiful, losing weight. I consider that part of love, because when people come to me for weight loss, it's not always about health. Although it should be, right? But it's about finding a mate, finding a partner, having sex. That's why people want to lose weight, to be more attractive to the opposite sex, or the same sex, or any sex. So, here we go. Aphrodisiacs used in magic. If you do an internet search, you will find some listings that are a little odd. Like, you'll find things like avocados and asparagus, mixed in with things like roses and carnations and lavender and beautiful smelling things. The reason for this, finding vegetables that are phallic, as in asparagus, or vaginal or yoni shaped, as in avocado, and soft and moist, like a vagina might be, are used to symbolize. And in magic, we use a lot of symbolism. We use the color green also for life and vitality, and also it represents the heart chakra, the green heart chakra. So using a green vegetable in this way is totally cool and great. And this is one of the reasons oysters come into play. Oysters are very sexual, not only in maybe the way they move, the way they look, but in the way they taste. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so anyway, if you look at an herbal listing, either on the Cunningham Incense, Oils, and Brews book, great book to have on your shelf as a witch, Cunningham's Incense, Oils, and Brews, highly recommended. Also, if you look on a Google search, you will find thousands sometimes listed in alphabetical order. So which to choose? How do we do this? Well, when you're creating magic, say we are creating magic, we've looked at the healing herbs. Now let's look at the magic. How do we transfer it? So the first thing you want to do is, who is it that you want to work on? Usually, most witches will say to you, you really ought not to be playing games with anybody else's will. In other words, if somebody doesn't love you, trying to get them to do so is kind of black magic, because it's manipulation. Now, not everybody believes that. Many people do, though. And if you think about it, it's maybe not black, but sort of kind of gray magic. If they don't really want you, should you really be playing with love magic and sex magic? Maybe not. Remember that everything you do comes back to you. Some people say threefold, some people say nine times. So as much as you ask for someone to love and lust after you, you're going to end up loving and lusting after them three times more than you already do, with them only coming back one third of that. Not so satisfying, right? Yeah, I've tried it. Don't work. Anyway, if you do know a person is in love with you and you're in a good relationship, or you're having the beginning of a relationship and you know that there's a chemistry and you know that there's something happening, using magic to just bolster that is not terrible, okay? So, first thing first, we want to work on ourselves first. Also, we want to move any blockage out of our way first. So anytime you're doing magic, sometimes it's mostly best to do something that removes the blockages first. So things like black candles during the waning moon, when the moon is getting slimmer in the sky and going to dark, is a time to remove blockages to this love that you want and desire, and the sex that you want and desire. So using a plain black candle anointed with some oils that turn you on, perfect way to go. If you'd like someone to create for you an unblocking, uncrossing oil, I do that. That's one of my specialties. Get in touch. I'll make you one. I make candles as well. I dress them as well. There are other places in the city, New York, you can get those things done for you. Enchantments is one place. Magical Realms is definitely another place. So lots of choices. Or you can make it yourself. I always find it better when you make it yourself, coming from you. So a black candle. You can find maybe in the 99-cent store, dark candle. If you can't find a black candle, you can find a white candle and call it a black candle. White candles are all-purpose. So you anoint your candle with your uncrossing oil, with your removal of blockages oil, whatever way you want to call it. You can create one. I'll talk about that in the future. And you burn it down. And then you look for a candle or a way to open the door. So if it turns you on to think of avocados as seducing your female partner by igniting her vagina, do so. If it works for you that your lover's penis is like an asparagus stalk and you want to use that, do so. If you want to feed your lover an avocado to give him the hint that you're available to him, do so. It's up to you. You can also use candles, anoint those, as I said, with the black candle. You can use red candles, you can use pink candles. You can also create a bath for yourself. You can create a perfume for yourself. You can create a solid perfume for yourself using just a little of beeswax and some oil. You can create all kinds of makeup that can be filled with essential oils that bring sex and love to the surface. You can wear stuff in your hair that brings people to you. You can carry powder in your pockets that it brings people to you, and the specific person you want will be amongst the people that are brought to you. You can use writing. You can anoint a scroll with oils and carry that in your pocket. You can wear a necklace anointed with oils and carry herbs. Just carry herbs in your pocket. It's up to you. It's your imagination. How you want to use herbs, how you want to use the magic is up to you. Some of the things that I make that I know work, and I know that they do because I've tried them, work really well, are roses. Now, not just any rose. Rose of Damascus. Now, this is one of the rarest roses on the planet. Well, no, not one of the rarest roses. Let me take that back. It's one of the rarest essential oils and one of the most expensive essential oils that there are on the planet. Rose of Damascus. An ounce of this is going to cost you a whole bunch of money. However, you can get it diluted in jojoba oil. You can get it diluted in almond oil, and you can still use it. So I recommend, above all other things that I use for aphrodisiac magic or sex and love magic, Rose of Damascus. I use it all the time, and I use mine organic. You can get some of that online. You can look. I tend to try to find it at really reputable places that work with sustainability. Floracopia, FloraCopia.com is an online source for things. Essential oil things that are made in a beautiful, sustainable way, sustaining the earth, sustaining farmers, sustaining the plants themselves. So take a look over there for your essential oils if you're interested in sustainability and the most pure I think I've ever smelled and dealt with ever. So there's that. Essential oils are a good way to go when you want to work with herbal medicine. They're easy. You can use them in carrier oil. You can dilute them in any oil you're not allergic to. Be careful if you have nut allergies not to use almond oil or walnut oil or peanut oil. Of course, you may know that. You can find jojoba oil. You can find avocado oil. Lots of things easy to find online and through different catalogs. Many of the herbal places that sell herbs also sell essential oils, and they also sell carrier oils. On my website, themagicapothecary.com, I just put up a blog today for you guys for a listing of all the magical herbs, pretty much in alphabetical order, that is easy to look through, and also where I get my herbs and stuff. So those links are there for you to pick up. So, Rose of Damascus. Jasmine, another big one. Night jasmine. Why? Think about it. Night jasmine. It's love and sex tend to happen, not always, for the lucky ones of us out here, but they tend to happen at night. So the smell of jasmine wafting through a window at night as your lover lays naked in your arms is beautiful, sensual, and jasmine smells so good. So there's one, another one. Also neroli, N-E-R-O-L-I, neroli, another one. Okay, so these are oils you can use and blend them into anything you want. Now, herbs. We talked a little bit about Damiana. as it's an aphrodisiac from Mexico, or if they say it's an aphrodisiac. It also helps to relax people a great deal, and it sort of has the same beginning feeling as cannabis, marijuana, does, but it doesn't get you stoned. It just makes you in that same relaxed state. So Damiana is a nice way to drink a little Damiana tea. You can put Damiana in food. Excuse me, it tastes like a little bit like oregano. It can be used that way as well. So a tea of Damiana might help. Oat straw, a nice relaxant as well. Oat straw is just oats. Oats just help you to relax. You can also use all sorts of mixtures and blends of teas. You can drink rose petals. Those are edible and drinkable. Please, if you do, buy them organic or from your own garden or from someone's garden who you know. Don't just pick them off the street. You really don't know if they're clean or if they don't have pesticides on them. When you are foraging, if you do, please be careful about where you forage. Please don't pick up herbs that might have pesticides on them. Particularly in New York City, in parks, they may be covered with things. We don't know, so be careful. So drinking and eating roses, drinking and eating petals of edible flowers. Violets are edible and delicious and healthy for you as well. So that's an answer. You can put those into cakes and cookies, into honey. Any kind of, you can make a love honey, which is really seductive and delicious, and let that sit for several days. You put in rose petals, you put in things like cinnamon and cayenne pepper for heat and delicious spice, and then you can put in things like oregano, Damiana, basil. Basil is a beautiful taste in honey, believe it or not, and bay leaves, laurel, that is sacred to Venus, Aphrodite, aphrodisiac, the goddess of love, right? So those are some ideas. You can burn incense. You can burn oils in a burner. You can use an essential oil mister to fill the air with these smells. You can bathe in these things. If you do use essential oils in the bathtub, please always mix them in salt, because otherwise they'll just float on the surface and be useless. So mix them in a bath salt, so mix them in Epsom salts or regular old baking soda and table salt. So all this talk, and you can see there's a lot of the things that you have may have in your own home. Cinnamon, I mentioned. I mentioned roses. I mentioned cayenne pepper. I mentioned Damiana or oregano. I mentioned bay leaves or basil. All these things are available to you in your house. So these are great ways to start thinking about using seductive love magic. Gather to yourself the things that symbolize to you what you want to have happen, be it vegetables, be it writing, be it a poem, be it a bowl of water with petals floating upon it, full of the moon light through the window. Any way you want to do your magic, use rose quartz. That's another way to use magic or to use power in the form of a stone. Rose quartz is said to bring love, to open the heart chakra, to heal the heart as well. Lots of ways to go, right? Lots of things to think about. Lots of ideas. Use your creativity. There are people who I know who bake bread to seduce people. I've baked cookies to seduce people with these very same herbs inside of them. Chocolate, by the way, is a known aphrodisiac for women. You want a woman to love you or be seduced by you? Well, a box of chocolates goes a long way. Nice ones, good ones, high quality, artisanal. Do yourself a favor and buy the best you can find. Seriously, is a good way to go. Wine. Wine for centuries has been considered an aphrodisiac for many and easy to look at answer reasons. If you can drink alcohol, if you're able to drink alcohol, wine is a way to go. It's a natural way of seducing someone or yourself into being relaxed enough to have beautiful sexual encounter, to have a beautiful open love encounter. I'm not saying to get drunk. I'm saying a little wine. Wine is also considered an aphrodisiac because the grapes themselves are considered little symbolic testicles and ovaries. Seriously. Okay, so all of that, a lot of information. I'm here. I'm going to be doing these podcasts more often. If you'd like to take a look at in some ways that I've done these things, you can look at some of the pictures on my website and see what I've done, how I've created different things like soaps and lotions and lip balms and makeup and perfumes, just because why not? Why not try a million different ways to make it? If you want me to make stuff for you, you get in touch. I'll be happy to do so. If you have any questions, get in touch. Again, it's 347-492-0534 or themagicalapothecary, T-H-E-M-A-G-I-C-A-L, apothecary.com, or you can just visit my website at themagicapothecary.com. I hope to hear from you guys soon. I hope you guys are listening and learning and brewing up wonderful, delicious, fantastic love and sex potions for yourselves and your friends and your lovers. Blessed be. May the God and Goddess always protect you. Bye.